Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. What an amazing artist we have on this edition of Music Journeys, Elisa Amador. The 2022 winner of NPR's Tiny Desk Contest has crafted a gem with her new album, Multitudes, a wonderful collection of songs start to finish, and you'll hear the inspiration for many of those songs. Amador is also candid with dealing with depression, writer's block, and how she almost didn't submit the eventual victorious entry for the Tiny Desk competition. Longtime listeners of this program know that we love just about every artist and type of music, but Amador has taken it to another level of special with these songs. I'm grateful she wrote and recorded them. You'll feel better and inspired by listening as well. Elisa Amador, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
I'm Elisa Amador, or Elisa Amador, depending on what languages you speak. And this is my crazy music journey.
Cuando miro afuera, cuando miro adentro, cuando miro afuera otra vez. De la periferia hasta el mero centro, siempre soy testigo y juez. Cuando sabré descifrar mi razón, cuando sentiré mi hogar.
Elisa Amador closes out her first album since winning NPR's Tiny Desk Contest with a version of the song that earned her the victory, but it represents much more than that. Amador refers to the song as the reason she's still a musician.
This record spans about 5 years of writing and living, two or so of which I had writer's block. So there's like a before and an after on this record, and I welcome anyone to try and figure out where the before and the after is. I feel like I can tell, but maybe not everyone can tell, but my approach to songwriting had to completely change before winning Tiny Desk and after winning Tiny Desk, because when I won Tiny Desk, I was still deep in the writer's block. And so it was a crazy time to receive such an accolade and suddenly be touring full time, because I just felt like a total fake. I was like, these people have no idea. Like, I don't even know how to write songs anymore. I don't even know if I am a musician or a songwriter, really.
I don't know where it is I'm going. To see how life will go. You came to me without a warning. So overwhelmed, underprepared. And in our hearts, three words are forming. And now we're both just
My twin brother and I were born in the mid-90s in Boston, Massachusetts, to touring musician parents who are Latin folk musicians to this day, called Sol y Canto.
Quiero saber si son de Santiago.
It was the best foundation, in my opinion, to live a life in music and to know what a life in music is, because we weren't shielded from the difficulties of being a musician, but we also got to be there for all of the joys and the magic of live music, the magic of just being in a room together and casting a spell on the audience and getting to watch from behind the velvet curtain, you know, hide, like popping our heads out from the side of the stage, watching people being in awe, you know, green rooms all over the country and just making do with whatever was in the green room to entertain us. Yeah, I remember making a lot of styrofoam cup puppets, using the coffee stirrers for arms. But in terms of as a musician, how I approach music, I guess I really do see it as this tool for community, for catalyzing community, which in this day and age, there really isn't much of that. And concerts are one of the final bits of magic that we have in a very digital age. The moments that impact me the most as a musician are often the ones that don't necessarily have to do with the job or the business, but more like why we even have music and why we lean on music. So there have been times where I've been asked to play a song for a wedding, or times I've been asked to play music for someone as they are passing on. And those are the things that remind me that this is why music is important. But in terms of the career aspect, I don't think I would be working in music right now if it hadn't been for NPR Tiny Desk Contest 2 years ago.
In any competition, there's all this rush of, hey, you did this, and then you sort of have to kind of figure out who you are. I guess, how did you navigate that whole thing once it happened and then once the sort of attention kind of went away?
Right, yeah. So I've always been wary of contests of any kind. And the NPR Tiny Desk Contest, what I love and had always loved about it when I would send videos in was that it was really about building community to me. It wasn't about hoping that you would win. But I love that you end up getting to meet other artists, some of whom maybe live down the street from you. You know, it's like it's another one of those gathering places is this contest every year where independent musicians send in their original music. And so I just did it because it was fun and because it meant I got to meet other people and be inspired by other people. You know, winning the contest, it is one of the greatest accolades that an independent musician can receive in this country. And it's actually, you know, harder to win than a Grammy, which is hilarious to me, and very surreal that I am on that list of winners. But it doesn't, winning the NPR Tiny Desk contest or playing an NPR Tiny Desk concert in general doesn't automatically bring you a sustainable career in music. It doesn't automatically bring you anything. It's just another step in a journey. The first like 6 months after winning was a chaotic time of navigating all of these new booking inquiries and all of this interest from all over the country and trying to piece things together into a tour that made sense, but also just learning how to navigate a career on my terms and treat myself as a human being. Being a freelance artist or working in any sort of service-oriented industry is often like at odds with being a human being, taking care of your human needs. So I've been struggling, but also really benefiting from this process of learning how to treat myself as a human being in the face of having more work and having more logistics than ever.
You almost didn't submit this last, the winning entry. Is there a message in there for all of us? I mean, that whatever walk of life you're in, you don't know the opportunities that might come about, but you're not going to have any if you don't do it.
So the reason that I sent in that video actually was because I had an idea. I thought this is a wonderful way to make this idea a reality. I have this idea to record Milonga Accidental, this song that I wrote recently, and make animations to create like a visual translation for anyone who doesn't speak Spanish to understand the song and to feel the song. And so it was a creative idea that I just felt like, oh, well, I just had this idea in the last week before submissions were closed, and I had planned on not sending in a video. So then I just thought, I want to follow through with a creative idea and honor myself in that way, honor myself as an artist, you know? And that led to winning the Tiny Desk contest. So for me, something that I really hope people carry with them from this interview is just to be good to yourself, to honor yourself, to listen to yourself. Because if I hadn't listened to myself, I wouldn't have made that song and I wouldn't have made that video. But also, if I hadn't listened to myself, I wouldn't be able to create a career now that is on my terms.
There are a million different lives I can live, but I will be here now. There are a million different tries I can give, but I will be here now. When I look in your eyes, I can swim in the golden brown. When I look in your eyes, I can see that you are sticking around. Then I think to myself, could it be that I found the one that's gonna stay? When I look in your eyes.
Multitudes is a cognate in Spanish, multitudes. It has the same meaning and is spelled the exact same way. And that felt really important to me that the album title could be interpreted in both English and Spanish. It's the only title that feels like it can hold all of this record. The span of life experiences and emotions is very broad. And I just learned along the way that if I tried to contain myself to one genre, one theme, one storyline, I can never follow a rule when it comes to songwriting. So I had to just let myself feel and process through songwriting and just see what would happen and accept that basically the through line in this record is honesty, sometimes brutal honesty. And whether it be in English or in Spanish, I also don't know when, like, what language the song is going to be until it's happening. So these are just experiences. All of these are true stories. And here I am, bearing my heart through song and processing the craziness of life through these songs.
Woke up today feeling like I'd never be home. Tried to shake the nightmare as it echoed through my mind. Tried to break my record of trying not to cry. Tried to recognize myself in the looking glass of life.
That song was so private, I never thought anyone else other than myself would hear it. I wrote it in a moment of just feeling very, very alone and very sad. I've been public about a lot of vulnerable things, but I'd never been public about my own depression. And sharing this song made me realize that I needed to be public about it. It's been really surreal to see the response to it. And to know that it's comforting a lot of people. And that's the thing about songs that are sad, is that they can actually hold space for people to heal. They can be a part of someone's healing.
How does that feel, Elisa? I mean, you said you almost didn't write it, and then to see and feel the what it means to other people, how special and powerful is that for you?
Yeah, it's really special that a song I wrote when I felt so alone is now a song that so many people can lean on to feel less alone. I have been stopped on the street in my city by people who have talked to me about how much that song meant to them. And that's such a surreal new part of my life, is having people stop me on the street and talk to me about how much my music means to them. And it really, really gives me the strength to go on. I feel like it always happens on a day when I feel like scared about whether or not I made the right decision to accept the Tiny Desk contest win and go on with my career. And that is when these people walk by and come and talk to me and tell me how much my music means to them. And whew, it gives me the strength to keep going.
That's wonderful. Not to go back to that, but you had an option. You could have just said, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, you can say no. Like, it's a huge.
I thought I wanted to win, but I don't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I had no intention of winning. And so I did have this moment when they called me and told me that I won. There was this moment in my mind where I was like, you could tell them to call someone else. And I really considered it, because I was not in any way confident that music was a safe thing for me to do. And I mean, like, psychologically safe, physically safe, like the number of hours that you have to drive, the number of hours that you have to work, then you have to be vulnerable on stage, sing to people, then you have to run off and run the merch table yourself. Like, you know, life as an independent musician is extremely difficult and can be harmful. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to keep doing this. So when they called me to say that I won, I was concerned. I was like, is this safe for me? Is this actually safe? It's not even like, is this good? Is this right? It's like, is this safe for me right now to accept this and then have to be put into a position where I'm going to be touring more and vulnerable even more often and working even more? And in that moment, I decided that I would accept, with the requirement that I had to fight for myself in a way that I never had and listen to myself in a way that I never had. And let me tell you, it is hard, but it is so rewarding, because I've started to live the life that is actually for me. And I have to say no a lot, and it's uncomfortable, but then it makes space for incredible things to happen, fantastic things, and gigs that pay fairly, and working with people who are fantastic and wonderful and share my philosophies. So the saying no and making people uncomfortable has brought the best things. Being myself has brought the best things.
Well, thank you for not saying no to this interview, especially after the cancellation earlier this week. Appreciate that.
No, this was definitely a resounding yes.
How about Heartless Author? What can you tell me about that one?
Oh, I'm really proud of that song. Heartless Author is, I always say at shows, this song is dedicated to anyone who has struggled with a mean internal narrator. And this song is dedicated to anyone who maybe didn't know where they were going in life. And then I realized, as I would say that, eventually I started saying, oh, so I think it's actually dedicated to each and every one of you and to myself. When I wrote it, I had just graduated from college and I had no idea what was next. And I felt very confused and lost. And I was always worrying about whether I was too much or not enough. It's like, you're always too much or not enough. And I remember I had just the first verse and chorus, and I showed it to my twin brother, Zia. I sang the chorus like, today the writer in my head took a break. In came a heartless author that I couldn't shake. And he was like, that's beautiful, but why is there a rudder in your head? And I was like, I didn't say rudder, I said writer. But it was the perfect misinterpretation, because it brought the second chorus, which made the song fully complete. And when we went into the studio, I got to record it with Madison Cunningham, who's such an incredible singer, songwriter, guitarist. And she was in the studio as part of the band in LA. And then it was time for harmonies. And Tyler Chester, my co-producer, was like, "Hey, Maddie, do you want to do the harmonies?" And I remember sitting in the booth listening to her singing the harmonies so beautifully and being like, "Wow, I hope we can publicly say that this was her." And we can. So it's really fun to be able to say this song is sung with Madison Cunningham. There are the introspective existential songs that have to do with identity and wondering where you fit in the world. And those are Milonga Accidental, Nudo de Raíces, which means tangle of roots.
Soy un nido de razones por las cuales no me quiero ir. Amontono mil perdones y me olvido de un simple sí. Por favor, no te preocupes, que estoy aprendiendo a ser feliz y con cada crisis quiero más a este nudo de raíz. Hey, hey, hey.
That helped me come to a process of just feeling a little more at peace with myself as I am. And Still Life is a song that every time my band and I are going to play, I'll write out a set list and then I'll ask them if they have any requests. They always ask to play Still Life. There's something about that song that really stands out to people. And that song was basically a realization to myself that I had not been listening to myself for my entire adult life. And it was a really hard realization to realize I was this far into a career in music and had not been listening to myself or living the life that was right for me. I was living the life that was making other people happy, but not taking care of me. And I'm so good at making people happy that sometimes I have no idea what I even think.
I've never listened. You can get so used to pushing every thought away that they don't know how to stay. Now they don't know how to stay.
And so that was the moment that I realized that that was the truth. I'm still learning how to listen to myself, but playing this song live and having it on the record has been a really big part of that healing and learning how to be real, be real and be good to myself. And then, oh, and then there's Love Hate Song, which is like a pop punk party.
Me once, I will say that I'm fine, then I'll probably break down when you ask us.
that is such a real experience for all of us, feeling this love-hate relationship with your own life and with your job and with the way you're living your life and always wondering if you're doing it right. You know what I mean?
Of course. All you can do is just keep learning from each day, right? Treat each day with your full effort and passion, and then whatever goes wrong, you try and learn and do better the next day. At least that's my motto.
Exactly. That's all we can do.
What do you hope listeners take away from this material, and maybe something listeners can do beyond the obvious to help independent musicians?
Thank you for asking that. Thank you, really. I think that the outside impression of music is often like, oh, you just get to do what you love and it must be so much fun. And that's such a tiny fraction. You know, performing on stage is such a tiny fraction of what we do. But I really hope that people listening to this album can feel like they have a home in this album. I had a friend once tell me, you are a home. And I don't know if anything has ever meant so much to me, because that concept of home can be so charged with so many things, right? And so to find someone or something where you can feel at home is so special. So I hope that multitudes/multitudes can be that home for people when they listen. I feel like I want them to be able to feel like they can arrive to it in any way, in any messy state, and like leave the album, you know, leave the house feeling a little more safe, seen, heard, like they got out their anger, like they had a dance party, like they had a little cry moment and feel more comfortable with themselves and more loved afterwards.
You'll definitely find a home listening to Elisa Amador's Multitudes release. We learned a little more about Elisa in the Fast Five. Here we go.
Okay, I'll try.
What's the first song you can remember hearing that you loved?
San Juan, Puerto Rico, in a CD and bookstore in Old San Juan. You remember when they used to have like the CD players on a machine with headphones and you could listen to whatever CD was in the machine? I was maybe 4 or 5 and I reached up and grabbed the headphones and put them on, and Echo by Jorge Drexler was playing.
Ocupando de a poco el espacio de mi abrazo hueco. El espacio de mi abrazo hueco.
You know, I'd been surrounded by music my entire life since I was in utero. I'd like love music, but I hadn't chosen music or chosen to love it. And in that moment, I was choosing this music, and I ran through the store and found my dad and said that he had to buy this CD.
Oh, that's wonderful. Power of music right there. How about a song that makes you feel the most nostalgic, sparks memories for you?
So many, but I guess Silvia Perez Cruz, who's a Spanish singer and songwriter. She has a song called My Dog that I've listened to perhaps over 1,000 times.
With a family and a dog at home, it was a dream. I am the same child, but worse. I'm my dog with no home.
She's a singer-songwriter who just gives herself to the music, and that is so inspiring to me and actually really informed the way that I produced this record.
Beautiful. All right, your go-to song for dancing, or a tune that you hear and you just can't sit still when you hear it.
Okay, Ile, Puerto Rican, incredible songwriter who I'm obsessed with. She has one called Curandera.
Yo soy la curandera y hoy te voy a sanar. No necesito vela pa poder alumbrar. Tengo el agua pura y te vengo a limpiar. Sácate esos dolores pa que no vuelva más. Vuelvo hacia el futuro, el pasado y el presente. Me voy balanceando entre la vida y la muerte. Vuelvo hacia el futuro, el pasado y el presente. Me voy balanceando entre la vida y la muerte.
You cannot sit still. Physically impossible. And then, of course, Chapel Rowan, super graphic, ultra modern girl. I need it. I think we all need it.
Oh, that's a great selection. Kind of along those lines, how about a song that makes you feel like working out or motivates you to do something that maybe you don't feel like doing at the time? Motivator song.
Oof. I mean, definitely those. Ooh, there's another one from the Ile album called Odio, which means hate. And it's like this really driving rhythm that's like, how can we kill hate? How can we starve hate to death? I just love the concept of let's starve hate until it has nothing to feed off of. Such a cool concept.
Amazing concept. You got it. Last one, song that lifts you up when you're feeling down.
My musical medicine is often Ella Fitzgerald. This one album, 12 Nights in Hollywood. Let it out, take wing around midnight, midnight. Let the angels sing for your returning till our love is safe and sound. And old midnight comes around. Round Midnight from that album, it just always centers me and inspires me that just incredible runs and so inspiring.
Oh, musical medicine, you're inspiring too. Thank you so much, Elisa Amador, for your time and for enriching our lives with your music. It's been wonderful to chat with you. Amazing album here.
Thank you. Thank you for what you do.
And thank you for listening to Music Journeys, a part of 90.5 FM, WCBE Columbus, 106.3 in Newark, online at wcbe.org, and broadcasting on the new WCBE app. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.
It's Michael Kent. I have a podcast called The Internet Says It's True, where I share true facts to make you sound like the smartest person in the office. This week's story is about the band The Zombies. When they hit it big with their hit Time of the Season, the band had already broken up, so a shady promoter from that state up north created a fake band to tour as The Zombies. That fake band went on to become a legendary rock band. Search for The Internet Says It's True on the NPR app or visit the WCBE podcast experience at wcbe.org.
Stay up to date on your favorite WCBE podcasts with the WCBE app, available now to download for free on iOS and Android.